So any family that's interested in exploring what is this thing called impact investing must do some homework. So as a family, you must ask yourself two key questions. One, what are our values? So you can't really go into impact investing without understanding what are our values as a family, what touches us, what do we care about? That could be climate, it could be barriers to girls and women, it could be alleviating poverty. I would say more often than not, and definitely we recommend that the values should be in line also with your philanthropy. So if in philanthropy you're focused on, again, environmental or climate issues, then it would make sense that in your investing that would match. I mean,
this is the Definitely Uncertain podcast, and my name is Darren Rockman, and I'm a partner at Goldrock Capital, the more than 20-year-old multifamily office servicing high net worth families in Israel and around the world. This is a special edition of the podcast recorded at our first ever Definitely Uncertain live event that was held in Tel Aviv in November of 2022. In it, my partner and friend Daniel Goldman interviews Dahlia Black of Weave Impact on the question of impact investing. It's a fascinating topic, and I hope you enjoy what's to come. Thanks.
Welcome to what we're now going to call the Definitely Uncertain Live Seminar. So maybe I'll just start with a very short word about why it is that we are doing it. So most of you obviously know Goldrock is a multifamily office, really servicing multi-generational families. And I think probably the best way for me to start is to say many of the people that I meet for the very first time when I'm introducing what Goldrock does, often the first question that I'm asking the principal of the family is, how would you like your family to look in, you know, 15, 20, 25 years time? And I think the ability to push out the horizon of how we look at families and their values and what they want to achieve, whether it's in business or in philanthropy or indeed any other field that families get involved with, it's a way for us to begin the process of understanding from that point out on the horizon, what should we do about it tomorrow morning? Okay, which is what you would do if you were maybe building a strategy for a company or a large organization, but actually families that have that level of wealth or complication, etc., often need to think in very similar terms. So the way we like to look at all of the issues that we assist our clients with at Goldrock is to try and push out the horizon and see what is the destination we want to get to and then sort of work backwards from that. So that, in some ways, it's the best way for me to think about Goldrock in those terms. Why then have we decided to put the focus on impact? I think for me personally, it goes back almost probably even a decade. I was trying to figure out how long it was when the first person came to my office and said, have you considered, I can't even remember what the terminology was at the time, but let's call it social investing or social bonds. And I think my first response, which is potentially, if we did a sort of show of hands, we might actually discover. My response was, okay, I know how to do business and I know how to do philanthropy, but I'm not sure how you marry those two things together. And I think that's the thing which carried me through until relatively recently, understanding I know how to do that. And some people might say I know how to do that and I know how to do the other, but I don't really know how to do the two things. And I think what's changed in the way that I'm looking at it is, okay, if I have a set of personal values or family values, as I would in everything else that I'm trying to do, how about, is there a way for me to integrate or create synergy between those values and the things that I'm doing on investing? I think what we're going to talk about today is the beginning of a journey that personally and also as a firm we've made a decision that we're going to set out on. And I think what we're hopefully is to really open that invitation out to everybody here to think about that together. And as with a lot of things that I've done on investing wise, it sort of came to me in the end by mistake, in the sense of I was looking at a particular investment, and during the process of the diligence or thinking about it, it occurred to me that in addition to the angle of potentially making money, there was maybe some good outcome that was going to come out of it. And then I realized there's this thing called impact investing. So it didn't really come sort of top down, it sort of came from bottom up. And then I'm like, which is, by the way, for those who don't know, that's how we ended up a family office. One morning, Darren and I were sitting in the office and thinking, I think what we do looks like a family office. They're like, well, we better look up and see what that, we're still trying to figure it out, of course, for those who know. So today is part of that learning process to understand really how that is going to look. Our intention is to really make our commitment to that deeper. And I think part of that is reflected again in today in the speakers and the specialists that we have, the leaders, the thought leaders, frankly, who we've managed to gather for ourselves and for you today. And obviously we'll talk more about them as we go. But I think also specifically what I wanted to highlight and mention also is to say that we've also made a decision, and we'll meet Dahlia very shortly, is that for us, we're all about working with best of breed advise us in all of the things that we do, whether it's investing or legal or whatever that is. So we're going to deepen our partnership and collaboration with Dahlia and her team at Weave Impact so that we can align in a much more successful way the values of our families and their assets with how they want to invest, again, to the extent that is interesting to the clients. And is, as somewhat with everything that we do, probably the first guinea pig for that will be myself. So we will be engaged on this. We will remain open-minded. We will have, for everybody who knows the team, we'll have a critical eye. We're not intending to be evangelist about this. This is about bringing it down to a very real and practical and concrete set of aims, because that's the way we know how to get the best results for our families. So with that, we're going to switch immediately to the first of our sessions. I'm going to invite Dahlia to join me. Dahlia Black is the founder and CEO of Weave. Weave Impact is a boutique advisory firm which really is working with clients in order to create and implement social impact investment strategies, particularly in Israel, although I've already discovered that it is not limited to Israel. Dahlia herself has over 20 years experience in financial services. She was previously vice president of the Fidelic Group, which I'm sure you're all familiar with on the Tel Aviv 25. All this, of course, before she founded Weave Impact, originally coming from the UK. In fact, Dahlia and I have known each other. We're trying to figure it out longer than we're going to say, because I don't want to embarrass myself or Dahlia. Dahlia started out her career in strategic consulting with Accenture. And after that, she worked in a number of firms in Israel, including Viola Credit. For those who are not familiar, a very large venture lending fund here in Israel. One thing you'll learn about Dahlia is that she's very passionate about everything that she does. And included with that is understanding how to use investment and assets and capital in order to create social change. So with that, I will say welcome to Dahlia.
Thank you.
What I think we're going to try and do is sort of figure out how we ended up where we are today. I think the first and most relevant place for us to start is perhaps if you could tell us how you ended up in the world of impact. Now, you come from Delek. That's not exactly impact. So what happened to you?
Sure, with pleasure. First of all, good morning. It's such a pleasure to have someone who's from a more northern town in England interview me this morning. Hopefully
We searched high and low.
Hopefully I will sound better than Daniel. And so as Daniel mentioned, I come from a private finance background, and I never considered anything other than profit maximization in my career. So whether that was looking for tech deals at Plenus or at Delek, as you all know, it's an oil and gas company with a major shareholder, and the conversations were never around anything other than profit maximization, and in particular, the share price. Until I met about 9 years ago, a couple from Australia. They're from the Lieberman family, and it's public. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the family. And they had inherited a significant amount of wealth, and they decided that with that wealth, they were going to ask always whether the investment also had a social or environmental impact. It was the first time I'd ever heard anything about that. And Daniel said, I'm not even sure it was called impact investing at that time, but they were fully committed. So they were 100% investing, also looking at the impact of their capital. And I went away and thought, if I can do that with my career, as in I can keep investing, but also look at the social environmental impact, it has to be a dream job. And so maybe a few months later, I left Delek and set up Weave Impact, and with a very personal goal of moving as much capital as possible into investments that also have a social or environmental impact.
So great segue. Can you tell us in terms that I will understand then, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? In the sort of chat that we've had before this, yeah, that sounds cool. I'm not sure how we define it. Give us something which we can take away that we'll remember an hour or two after we've finished.
I can try.
Yes.
So for me personally, we take a very umbrella, broad approach to impact investing. And there is a number of people in the room who've already spoken to me about how they see impact investing and where it isn't impact investing and so on. So we'll try and take a definition that is acceptable to all of us. I'll use two volunteers to help me. I'll use Gabby over there. Gabby, say hi. And Oren, I'm picking on you. Is that okay? Okay, so we have Gabby and Oren. Oren, say hi so everyone knows who you are. Okay, Gabby is going to represent hardcore business. Okay, so Gabby does not care about anything other than financial return. And Oren is a philanthropist, and he does not care at all about financial return. He only cares about the social impact of giving away his capital. So there are two differences between Gabby and Oren. Anyone want to take a stab at it? One, social impact, right? Gabby doesn't care. So she may end up doing social impact, but it'll be by default. She really doesn't care. She just wants to see profit maximization. Let's say she's making 20% plus. And in the case of Oren, he hopefully, if he's a sophisticated philanthropist, is making significant social impact. But there's another difference between them. Oren is making minus 100% financial return on his capital. Knowingly, right? Oren is giving away millions of dollars a year. He's not expecting to see any of it back. But Gabby is, of course, hoping to see her capital back, plus whatever returns that she can make. And anything that falls between the two of them is impact investing. Now, we'll talk this morning what that means and what it can look like and so on. But for the sake of our discussion, anything that has some financial return, as in, I'm not giving away a grant, I'm expecting to see my money back, and has some social or environmental return, is an impact investment. Everyone's with us? Okay, sorry.
So, leading on from, that's great, now I understand.
Okay, good.
Leading on from that, I think one of the things which many people are concerned about is, if I do impact investing, I have to give up on making money. So should I expect to be giving up on my expected returns? Is there a way to do it without doing that? How should I look what my expected return on impact investment is relative to what I would be doing with the rest of my wealth?
Okay, so it's a great question. First of all, the answer is yes. There are some families that choose to give up on some financial return in order to make greater social impact. So we have a couple of people in the audience who are connected to Ogen, for example, which is a loan fund to small and medium-sized businesses in Israel. Those that invested in Ogen are getting somewhere between 1% to 3% return, which is, as we know, right now in the bank, you could be getting more than that. However, more than 70% of impact investors are looking for market rate returns, which means the majority of impact investors are investing also to see social impact, but with a goal of getting market rate returns like you would want to see in the rest of your portfolio. So I definitely not think I've seen investments which have had fantastic returns and have had good impact. I can even bring an example. So there's an equity fund based in the Netherlands. It's called AquaSpark. Perhaps some of you have come across it. They're managing over 300 million euro, and they're focused on ocean tech. So everything they invest in is to do with cleaning the ocean and plastics and so on. And they are absolutely looking for returns like any other venture capital fund. So if a family decides that they do not want to take lower than market rate returns, but do want to see impact with their investing, they absolutely can do that.
Okay, and there's a kind of underlying point which I think will keep coming up, which is, having said that we're in a world somewhere between Gabby and Oren, after that, I have to decide actually what it is that I want to achieve by this and how close do I want to be to Oren plus some return or saving the capital, or closer to Gabby that says I want to keep making all the money that I've been making up to now plus an impact, and we can choose. We can kind of dial in, dial out as you would almost in any other type of asset allocation. Is that sort of reasonable?
Absolutely. So any family that's interested in exploring what is this thing called impact investing must do some homework. So as a family, you must ask yourself two key questions. One, what are our values? So you can't really go into impact investing without understanding what are our values as a family, what touches us, what do we care about? That could be climate, it could be barriers to girls and women, it could be alleviating poverty. I would say more often than not, and definitely we recommend that the values should be in line also with your philanthropy. So if in philanthropy you're focused on, again, environmental or climate issues, then it would make sense that in your investing that would match. I mean, just to bring that message home, in the US, you may be familiar with the tax structure that 5% of your wealth should be focused on philanthropy, 95% of your wealth is separate. Now, the whole concept of impact investing is, Lee, and Daniel spoke about this a little in his opening, why should they be separate? I mean, 5% versus 95%. Imagine how much more you could do with 95% against the 5%. And there have been examples of that. So you have, for example, the Gates Foundation, who were super focused on a topic in their philanthropy. And then when they looked at their 95% of their endowment, which is worth billions, they saw that they were invested in businesses that were driving the problem they were trying to solve. So that's an issue that we see often. And that is the power, I think, of a family looking at impact investing and saying, look, if as a family we care about certain issues, then it would be much more powerful if we applied those values to our investments as well as our philanthropy.
So I want to touch on another sort of small elephant that we have in the room, and the 595 is actually a good way to think about that. Assuming you're not going to jump in and do 100% all impact investing, which some people, I don't think there are too many people in Israel, but certainly some of the states are moving in that direction. Assuming you're not going to do that, if you wanted to try, if you will, to not go long short, one of the ways is let's identify something to do a positive impact and let's try and do less harm. I think one of the areas of skepticism that we have encountered, and you just have to do a small amount of desktop research, is particularly on the do no harm stuff. There seems to be a lot of concerns that actually it's all smoke and mirrors and really achieving that level of impact or lack of damage. Is there something that we should know about that would help us to consider that? Can we avoid those issues?
So someone's already approached me about this morning, I won't out them, but Daniel's touching on a definition which you will hear about. It's called ESG, investing, environment, social, and governance. And there's been a lot of criticism around this investing recently. And my advice would be, if you're going to start looking at it, then look at it properly. As in, if you're going to ask your financial advisor, how am I investing? Can you tell me where you've taken environmental, social considerations into play, then push them until you get an answer at the end, as opposed to receiving what Daniel's referring to as what's greenwash or impact wash, some nice answer which really doesn't suffice. I can share on a personal level that our family's wealth is managed in the UK, and when I first got interested in impact investing, I called the wealth manager and asked them, okay, can you explain, do you have a policy on social or environmental? And they were like, they really buffed it over. They didn't have anything. Oh, that's fine. And then slowly, as the topic got more hot and topical, they did begin to have answers. And this year, for the first time, they've got a full-time impact advisor on their team and a very interesting offering. So I would say that this problem of greenwash, impact wash absolutely exists. And if you are genuinely interested in exploring, then push your financial advisor to give you real answers. Okay, so what does that mean? How have you graded this index? Why have you chosen this product? And so on.
So I think from my perspective, that means, as we would almost with almost every other asset class, maintain a healthy skepticism. Not everything you're being told is always necessarily exactly how it is.
Absolutely.
Do your homework, and until you're satisfied, you don't have to press the button.
In fact, this week, for the first time in Australia, the corporate watchdog just fined an energy company for greenwash, where they said that the company had exaggerated what they're doing with regards to environment, and they got fined.
I'm shocked. That could never happen.
But you can see that regulation is beginning to mature. It's a market which has gone like this in a very short amount of time, and it comes with some issues, but we're beginning to see them.
So we get to the end of the day, everybody goes home, they're like, oh, that was cool, fun, free food on Gold Rock, that's great. What would be a practical set of things to do if somebody came and said, okay, help me, how could we do this? What would that look like?
So the first piece of advice I always give is, first of all, look at what you're invested in. Speak to your wealth manager, speak to your family office. Just understand, without making any change, just understand at anywhere in your portfolio has this been taken into consideration. It could be that you've invested in a fund like Helios, which is an Israeli fund. They're already on fund 4 or 5. I don't think they categorize themselves as impact, but they're investing in alternative energy infrastructure around Europe. It's a super interesting fund. And just understand what your portfolio looks like. And then if you want to take it one step further, then what we talk about is creating investment parameters for the family. And you need to answer two questions. One, as a family, you need to decide, what do we care about? What do we care about with our heart and not only with our head in terms of looking at the investment? And once you've agreed as a family, then ask yourselves, when it comes to financial return, what is enough for us? So there's a lot of discussion about that. What is enough in terms of seeing financial return? It might be that as much as possible, and that's fine. And it might be actually for a certain carved out amount of capital, we're okay as a family at getting less than market rate if we see that we're going to have extensive social impact. So those two questions are critical to move forward: values and level of financial return.
Cool. All right. Maybe we can sort of open it out and have some questions. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Ask anything you like.
So can you just talk a little bit about the generational interplay? Because you said that it's under 40s, and that sounds right. But how do older family members and younger family members get around the table?
I'll be very honest. Older wealth holders, let's say 70 plus, impact investing is very difficult for them to understand. Brought up in a generation of we have to make as much money as we can, and then we will be very philanthropic. But those pockets are very separate. And trying to bring it together is very difficult. What we see as most successful in the situation where you have a second gen pushing for impact investing and the older generation still alive is, excuse me, that they will get a carve out of the family's wealth. So the older generation will say, fine, I understand, you want to do this thing.
You almost said fun.
You did almost say fun,
didn't you?
We'll carve out a portion of the wealth. You can do impact investing with that, but we're going to see it as separate from the rest of our wealth. But it's a journey, and it is a journey that the older generation needs to be taken on. And I can tell that once the second gen starts and they start making those impact investments, and the older generation understands that actually it's not philanthropy and they're not throwing away the capital, they tend to come on board and want to get more involved.
Yeah, Ed, just because I like you.
Why can't you be a profit maximizer and an impact investor at the same time?
You can be. What I was just trying to show is that between the two of them, there are these two differing elements, as in there was the pocket of philanthropy separate until now, until 15 years ago. By the way, impact investing was coined 15 years ago. It's nothing, by the Rockefeller Family Foundation. The answer is yes, but still, I have to say that we haven't got a huge amount of examples to be able to show that's the case. I do believe that you can have market rate returns and do social impact. There is a handful of second-time funds on this slide. So we still are a little bit nascent in terms of being able to prove that point.
Terrific. I'd like to say thank you to Dahlia.